I would like for you to open your Bibles this morning to the book of John, the 5th chapter of John's Gospel. I'll be reading just one verse of Scripture. This is my text, and this is my subject. The text reads in John 5:40, "And you will not come to me, and you will not come to me, that you might have life." Now here's the subject. What is it to come to Christ? I want to help you today. I want you to listen to this message. I'm not just filling in time. I'm not just following a vocation. I'm here, if possible, to glorify God Almighty. I'm here to preach His Word, and I'm here to help you if I can. Someone said recently concerning my ministry, said he's not much of a preacher, but he's a good teacher. Well, if I can teach you the way of life, if I can teach you the Word of God, I'll be very happy about this time that we're spending together. And I'm asking some questions and dealing with some subjects that need to be dealt with. What is it to come to Christ? What is it to come to Christ? Now, really and truly, I'm going to use several texts. First of all, John 5:40, that one I just read, "You will not come to me that you might have life." Our Lord had declared in verse 24 of John 5, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." He's saying all who come to me have life, and those who refuse to come to me do not have life, but they're in eternal death and eternal condemnation and separation from God Almighty. Now he goes on in this same chapter and he says, John the Baptist, that's the forerunner, he bore witness of me. And then he said, the works that I do, they bear witness of me. And then he said, the Father himself hath borne witness of me. The Father said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. And then the Word of God, he says, bears witness of me. And in spite of all of these undeniable witnesses, these infallible witnesses, these heavenly witnesses, the forerunner, John the Baptist, the Father himself, the miracles. Nicodemus said, no man could do what you do except God be with him. The Word of God, in spite of all of this, Christ said, you will not come to me that you might have life. Men will come to the church, they'll come to the altar, they'll come to the priest, they'll come to the preacher, they'll come to the law, they'll come to anything, but they won't come to Christ. And these men to whom he was speaking, they'd come to the feast days and to the temple and to Jerusalem, to the holy days, to the ceremony. They'd come to anything religious. But our Lord said, I'm the Messiah, and your forerunner, the last of the Old Testament prophets, told you that I'm the Lamb of God, the Christ. The Father told you. My works, they tell you. The Word tells you. And you will not come to me that you might have life. In John 6:37, listen to the Master in the next chapter. He said, all that my Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I'll in no wise cast out. No man can come to me except my Father which sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. It's written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God, and every man that hath heard and hath learned of the Father, hath been a disciple of the Father, hath been a learner of the Father, cometh unto me. Cometh unto me. Now listen to another scripture in Matthew 11, verse 28. Our Lord had condemned the cities in which his mighty works had been done. He'd condemned Capernaum and Bethsaida and all these different cities. He said, why, it'll be easier for Sodom and Gomorrah, Tyre and Sidon, it'll be easier for those wicked cities of the plains in the day of judgment than for you. And he lifted his eyes to heaven and he said, Father, I thank you, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hid these things from the wise and the prudent, but you've revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, it seemed good in your sight. And then he looked out over the multitude and he gave this call, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What is it to come to Christ? I could go on through the scriptures and read many more texts. Come to Christ. Come to Christ. Come to Christ. You will not come to Christ. All that hath learned of the Father cometh to the Son. If you come to me, I'll in no wise cast you out. Now then, what is it to come to Christ? If you come to Christ, you find life. Life for death. pardon for sin, grace for guilt, salvation from damnation, if you come to Christ, then what is it to come to Christ? I'm going to ask four questions. This, I think, will help you to understand the subject. Now, here are the four questions I'll be dealing with. If you want to, jot these down, and then jot down the scripture references that I give to you. The first question is this: why should I come to Christ? Why should I come to Christ? That's a good question. The preacher said, come to Christ, come to Christ. Well, why should I come to Christ? Why should I? What is there in Christ that would cause me to come to Him? And the second question is this: what it is not coming to Christ? Coming to Christ, what it is not. Now, people are willing to come to a lot of places, but not to Christ. So I'm going to give you this coming to Christ, what it is not. And then thirdly, then what is it? Plainly and clearly, preacher, what is the Bible talking about when it says come to Christ? And then last of all, what are the results of our coming to Jesus Christ? Now, here's the first one. Why should I come to Christ? Why should any sinner come to Jesus Christ? Well, first of all, here's the reason. God is in Christ. You can't come to God without coming to Christ. Christ is in God, and God is in Christ. And to come to Christ is to come to God. And to refuse to come to Christ is to have nothing to do with God. That's exactly right. Listen to the scriptures now. Listen to the Word of God. Christ said this was one of the things that raised the ire and anger of the mob against Him. In John 10:30, He said, I and my Father are one. No man knoweth the Father save the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal Him. I and my Father are one. He that hath the Son hath the Father. He that hath not the Son hath not the Father. That's what He said. Listen to John 14:6. No man cometh to the Father but by Me. Listen to 2 Corinthians 5:19. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. Now here's the clinching scripture. Here's the one that wraps up the whole thing. When the angel came to Joseph and announced that Mary was with child by the Holy Ghost, he said, Joseph, don't be afraid to take unto thee Mary to be thy wife. That holy thing which is born of her shall be called the Son of God. Call His name Jesus. He'll save His people from their sin. This is the fulfillment of the scripture in Isaiah 7:14. When God said, behold, the Lord Himself shall give you a sign, a virgin shall be with child, and thou shalt call His name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, God with us. Who is Jesus Christ? He's God Almighty. That's why I invite you to come to Christ. That's why Christ invited sinners to come to Him. God is in Christ. God is in Christ. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. In Hebrews 1:8, the scripture says, the Father said to the Son, unto the Son, thy throne, O God, is forever. Paul, in speaking to the elders of the church of Antioch, said, feed the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. God's in Christ. So that's how serious this matter is that we're talking about today. Why should I come to Christ? Because God's in Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He's the express image, the exact image of the Father. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, yet He made Himself of no reputation. Secondly, why should I come to Christ? All spiritual blessings are in Christ. Everything's in Christ. Listen to Colossians 2:9. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of God. In Christ dwelleth all the fullness of God, bodily. And you're complete in Him. Listen to 1 Corinthians 1:30. Of God are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That's all there is. That's all there is. Romans 10:4. Christ is the goal, the consummation, the end of the law to them that believe it. Christ is our peace, rest, pardon, life, refuge, hope. Everything's in Christ. There's nothing God has for any human outside of Jesus Christ. That's the reason you'd better come to Christ. He's the fountain of life. He's the source of grace. He's all and in all. He's God's eternal yes. And everything contrary to Him is no. That's why you should come to Christ. Thirdly, Christ is prophet, priest, and king. No man ever occupied those three offices. Moses was a prophet, Levi was a priest, David was a king. None of them ever held two offices. Christ has all three. He's the prophet to reveal God. No man knoweth the Father save the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal Him. He's the priest. Seeing we have such a high priest, let us come boldly before the throne of grace. He is the king. God hath exalted Him and given Him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that He is Lord of lords and King of kings, to the glory of God the Father, that in all things He might have the preeminence. That answers the question for you. Why should you come to Christ? I invite you to come to Christ. The Scripture invites you to come to Christ. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life. Let him come to Christ. Why? God's in Christ. All spiritual blessings are in Christ. That's where they are. They're in Jesus Christ. And thirdly, He is prophet, priest, and king. All that you need. All right, secondly, what it is not. Coming to Christ, what it is not. Well, let me tell you this. It's not coming to the law. I know a lot of preachers out preaching, do this and do that and don't do this and don't do that. And they're giving forth commandments and laws, and there's nothing wrong with commandments, there's nothing wrong with laws, but not as a way of salvation. You can come to the law and come to the commandment and perish, because the Scripture says, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. Even Abraham was not justified by works, and I sure don't want to buck Abraham at the judgment to find some merit, do you? I sure don't want to buck Abraham at the judgment to find some means of merit in heaven. If anybody's going to merit it by his works, it'd be Abraham, not you or me. But even Abraham was not justified by works. If he was, he hath whereof to glory before God. And the Scripture says, no flesh shall glory in his presence. No flesh. So you needn't come to the law. You churches can fill out your standards and your church covenants and your rules and regulations and your do's and don'ts and hand them out to people and say, do this and be saved, break it and go to hell, and you're deceiving multitudes. You're the blind leading the blind. The Scripture doesn't invite you to come to the law. The law can't save. It can only show you your sins. That's all the law can do for you. It's all it can do for any man, is reveal sin. It's a schoolmaster to point us to Christ. And secondly, it's not coming to the ordinances. Oh, there's some beautiful ordinances, the Lord's table and baptism, both symbolic, both pictures. When we go beneath the water, we're showing Christ's death, His burial, His resurrection, our own death to sin and burial and resurrection to walk in newness of life, in holiness and righteousness, in beauty and integrity. When we take the Lord's table and drink the wine, we're saying, this is His blood shed for the remission of sin. The broken bread says, this is my body broken for you. But my friends, you can drink all the wine in the world and eat all the wafers and the crackers and the unleavened bread and get baptized. Somebody said to the frogs, know your middle name, and still not be saved. Salvation is not in water and it's not in wafers. It's in Christ. It's not coming to the ordinances, sacraments, communion, whatever you want to call it, confirmation or sprinkling or whatever. I'm just saying that those things won't save a baby and won't save an adult. They won't save. They won't redeem. They won't put away sin. Baptism wasn't crucified for me. The Lord's table wasn't nailed to a cross for me. Even memorizing Scripture won't save you. And it's not coming to the church. The church is not the Savior. Christ is the Savior. John 1:11 says, He came unto His own things, people, the Jews, the ceremonies, and they received Him not. They turned thumbs down on Him. But as many as received Him, not His church, not His ordinances, not His laws, but Him. As many as received Him, a living person, a living Lord, a sovereign Redeemer, to them gave He the right, the privilege, to become sons of God. It's not coming to a creed. It's not coming to an altar. It's not coming to a plan. It's not coming to a law. It's not coming to a set of rules. It's coming obediently and lovingly and believingly to a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our substitute, our sin offering, our Savior. Some followed him because of the miracles that he performed. He did not reveal himself to them. Some followed him for material gain. They ate of the loaves and were filled. Some followed him because of kingdom promises. We want to sit on your right hand or we want to sit on your left hand. But those who found him to be the source of life came to him not for material gain or miracles or kingdom promises. They came to him for mercy and forgiveness of sin and pardon and grace and life everlasting. Now here's the third question. Then what is it to come to Christ? Then what is it to come to Christ? Now, what's the best way to answer this? In preparing this message, and I came along to this particular point. Now, I want to know and you want to know. What is it to come to Christ? How do I answer this so that at least in your head you'll understand it from the Scripture? Well, I think the best way, the best answer is to be found in the attitude of those who came to Christ in the Scriptures. Let's find some people in God's Word who came to Christ. And I don't mean those who came to Him physically like Nicodemus or some of the others, you know, and went away, the rich young ruler and went away, or the man who said, let me go and bury my father and went away, and the father said he bought a piece of land, had to prove it, and went away. I'm talking about those who came and stayed, and those who heard Christ say, thy sins be forgiven thee. Huh? Let's see how they came. And if I can find out how they came, then I can come the same way they came. Because I got the same need. I got the same sins. I've got the same Savior. All right, first of all, it's to come to Christ as a sinner. As a sinner. Our Lord gave a parable or story of two men who went to the temple to pray. That is to approach God. They came to God. The first one was a religious man, a Pharisee. A very moral, religious, ceremonial legalist. And he came bursting right into the temple, right down the aisle, down to the altar, down to the front. And he lifted his eyes to heaven and lifted his hands too, I reckon. You see folks waving their hands to God. And he says, God, I sure thank you I'm not like other men. I tithe and I fast and I give alms, and I'm not an extortioner, I'm not an adulterer, I'm not even like that publican back there in the back, and I'm sure grateful that I'm so good. But there was the other man, Christ said, a publican, a very sinful man, who wouldn't come down the aisle or to the front or to the altar. He stayed back afar off, the Scripture says, way back. He didn't feel worthy of coming into God's presence. And he didn't lift even his eyes, let alone his hands, to glory. He just smote on his breast, just beat his breast. And he cried, oh God, be merciful to me, the sinner. That's a definite article there, the sinner. Let thy blood be propitiation for me on the mercy seat. O God, be reconciled to me, the sinner. And our Lord said, that man went home saved, not the other. So that's the first thing I would advise you in coming to Christ. Come as a sinner. As a sinner. He said, I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Christ died for the ungodly. Christ came into the world, Paul said, to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. Secondly, I'd come to him as a sovereign. A sovereign. What's a sovereign? Well, the meaning's right there in the word. R-E-I-G-N. He reigns. He's king. He rules. He gives mercy to whom he will. He doesn't owe any man anything. That's right. Mercy's optional. Justice must be given. But here was a man in Matthew 8, when our Lord came down from the mountain, a leper ran and fell down at his feet and worshipped him, the Scripture says, and he said, Lord, Lord, Master, if you will, you can make me whole. It's in your power. Now, you don't owe me anything. You're not obligated to me in any way. But you see my condition. I'm helpless and hopeless. I'm dying. I'm a leper. I'm dying. If you will, if it's in your will, you can. It's in your power to make me whole. And our Lord said, I will. Be thou whole. Now you better come that way. Don't you come proud and haughty and lifted up. You better make your headquarters in the dust and come repenting of your sins as a sinner before a sovereign who saves whom he will, who shows mercy to whom he will, who will be gracious, he said, to whom he will. And then thirdly, salvation is a gift of God. Gift of God. And then thirdly is to come to Christ for mercy. A Canaanite woman came to him one day saying, Lord, have mercy on me. Mercy. And our Lord turned. He didn't speak at first. And she kept crying, have mercy on me. Not justice. Now, if I get justice, I'll be damned. But I want justice. I don't want God to judge me according to my works. I want Him to receive me through the mercies of Christ. This woman kept saying, have mercy. And our Lord turned to her and He said, I'm sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She said, Lord, have mercy. He said, it's not right to give the children's bread to dogs. She said, but the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Mercy is all I ask. Come boldly to the throne of grace that we may find mercy. Mercy. And grace to help in time of need. And then fourthly, what is it to come to this? She found mercy. Christ said, I haven't found faith like that in Israel. And then it's to come to Christ completely. Now there was a rich young ruler, and I'm going to use the reverse this time. There was a man who came and left because he didn't come like I'm talking about here, coming completely. This rich young man came to him and wanted to know what he must do to inherit life, and Christ told him to keep the commandments. He said, well, I've kept all those. And Christ said, well, go sell what you have and give it to the poor, and you come follow me. You sell all of your distractions. You get rid of those things that divide your affections. You get rid of your heart that is set on things of this world, and you come to me completely, unreservedly, leaving all others. And that young man turned and walked away because he had great riches and he loved great riches. And our Lord said, no man can serve two masters. A man cannot serve God and mammon. Now, I don't know what your affections are set on, but if you come to Christ, you'll forsake all others. You'll leave all others. And if your right arm, and that's the most precious thing to you, or your right eye, this is what Christ's talking about. He's not talking about mutilating the body by plucking actually the eye out or cutting off the arm. Don't you ever do that. God doesn't teach us to mutilate our body. What He's saying is this. He's saying that anything that is more important to you than your relationship with Christ has to go. You come to Him completely, completely. All right, fifthly, is to come to Christ alone when everything else fails. There was a woman with an issue of blood, 12 years. She had sought healing from many physicians. In fact, the Scripture says she spent everything she had and wasn't any better, but just grew worse, continually worse. And finally, when she heard of Christ, after trying all the other ways, she said, if I can get to Him, I'll be made whole. And she made her way to Christ, and she touched His garment, and she was made whole. Everything else had failed. Everything else was to no avail. She had spent everything, and she came to Christ. Now, you can try the law and church membership and baptism and good works and rededication and all these, just keep trying all these things. But let me tell you this. If you ever get serious enough, and desperate enough, and lost enough, that you can say to the disciples, one day our Lord said, would you also go away? And they said, to whom? To whom? To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life. He's the only fountain. There's a fountain filled with blood. It's drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. He's the only hope of the helpless sinner. He's the only grace for the guilty sinner. He's the only mercy for the wicked sinner. He's the only source of life. He's the only refuge. He's the only hiding place. He's the only rock in the time of storm. He's the only resurrection in the life. I must have Christ. I must have Christ. Now, you come that way. He said, you seek me with all your heart. You'll find me. You'll find me. But you haven't come to that place yet, have you? You still got too many irons in the fire and too many play parties and too many childish things and too many toys. And when you're willing to lay them down and to lay your... He that saveth his life will lose it. And that's saving it for the world. But he that will lose his life, lost in Christ, dedicated, consecrated to Christ, he'll find it. He'll find it. Christ is all and in all. And then it's to come to Christ our atonement. It's to come to Christ our sacrifice and our sin offering. The Scripture says by one offering, He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Now, I know Christ is our example, but that's not why He came into this world. He didn't need to come and set an example. He wrote one down in His Word. I know that Christ is our provider, but He provided for us before He came. I know that Christ is our shepherd, but He led us before He walked on this earth as our surety. But Christ is our substitute. That's how we come to Him, the atonement. Just like that great old high priest back in Old Testament days came under the veil on the Day of Atonement into the Holy of Holies with the blood sacrifice which showed Christ, which pictured Christ, and put that blood on the mercy seat on top of that broken law, saying, "This is my sacrifice, this is my sin offering, this is my atonement, O God. Be reconciled to me, a sinner, through the death of thy Son. I once was lost, but now I'm found. By God's grace, I'm heaven bound. My only hope, my only plea, is that when Jesus Christ died, he died for me. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." I'm saying that as positively as I can say anything. I've been preaching 35 years nearly, pastor the same church over 30 years. I have nothing to claim but Christ. I have no hope but Christ. I have no foundation but Christ. What's the results of coming to Christ? He said, "I'll give you rest. Rest from your labors, rest from bondage, rest from condemnation, rest from fear of death and judgment, rest in the midst of your trials and affliction. Come unto me and drink, and out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. You'll be a source of life itself, because I live in you."